Generations Bank has been serving the financial needs of the Finger Lakes region since 1870. Generations combines the best of modern banking with dedication to the local community. Visit them at mygenbank.com. Generations Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender.
Welcome in to Fresh Takes with Russo and Felice. I am Paul Russo, and joined as always by the man, the myth, the legend himself, Nick Felice. Nick, long time no see. As I jokingly said to you on the way in, we spent, pretty much the whole weekend together.
Yeah, nice. Thanks for the idea of going to the Syracuse game on Saturday.
Yeah.
It was a great game. First time at the Dome this year. Second time for you?
Oh, for basketball?
For basketball.
No, that was my third game.
So they win every one?
Yeah.
I don't think they've lost at the Dome yet this year, have they? Good question.
I don't think they have, actually. Yeah.
I don't think so. I think two in Maui, one at Virginia, and one at Duke. Yeah, I think that's the schedule. But,
Not every team could be blessed to beat Virginia now.
Yeah. go Irish. New Year's Eve on Sunday, We went to a couple breweries. One of our favorite, Gristiron. Shout out. We also went to
Watershed,
and we went to Twisted Rail,
Geneva location.
Yeah, so, shout out.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. Definitely felt the effects of continuously on the go. So it's been a nice, quiet-ish couple days into the new year, I wouldn't say it's a quietest show, but we really only have football to discuss today. So
getting down to it.
Yeah, getting down to it. So let's jump right on in. College first today.
Yes.
College football.
How did you do?
We'll get to that in a little bit. You know how this works. Let's start with the Rose Bowl, obviously. Michigan 27, Alabama 20 in overtime. There's a few things to get here, but let's start with the obvious and just the result. I did pick Michigan. I don't know if I expected it to be as clustery as it was, if you know what I mean. But at the end of the day, the better team the whole year prevailed in the end. And I don't know if maybe they were always the better team Monday, but they were at least the better team when it mattered most to close that result out. Now, a few things to discuss here, but result-wise, I wasn't surprised. I don't think you could ask for, and I'll include the Sugar Bowl in this, obviously. I don't think you could ask for two better endings in terms of just the movie, the Hollywood element of it, right, where it's coming down to the end, this is it. What do you got type deal. Now, does that necessarily mean everything was great within the game? Probably not, but that's a different discussion in and of itself. But at least for the Rose Bowl, start there, like I said. Outcome was the one I thought, result-wise on paper. How it got there, a little bit different.
Yeah, 2 years in a row we've had great semifinals.
Yeah.
Hopefully we get it. You can only go up from last year's championship game, but I think we're going to have a great championship game this year. But going back to this year's semifinals, you did predict both the teams right. Uh-huh. I did not. I just have to say Big Ten has not won it yet. We can't go on saying the Big Ten is back. They have not won.
Big Ten's never been back.
It is interesting now that Washington and Michigan are conference opponents and as of next year.
Future foes.
Yeah, so this is interesting. Championship game you probably will never see again. I mean,
In theory.
It could happen. It definitely could happen now with the 12-team playoff. But in the 4-team, but it would never. It'd be really hard. But
right.
12-team, you can happen. So, forget what I said there. The Big Ten, I still think it's overrated. But this is not Alabama, one of their better teams. And we've been saying that all year long. this is not one of Alabama's better teams. I still think, in the end of the day, Georgia was the better team. It just so happened in that SEC championship game, Alabama was the better team that day. I still think overall, you do a best of three series, I think Georgia could pull out that series. But that ultimately was not the case. When they say, a lot of people have been saying this on other medias, you know, like ESPN, that they got the Final Four right. I still don't think they got the Final Four right. I really don't. Just because we had two great games and they all seemed even, all four teams, doesn't mean you got the Final Four right. And we didn't. It just so happens the undefeated team pulled out the wins and should be in for a great championship game coming up on Monday.
Yeah.
But not one of Alabama's better teams. Michigan, though, definitely made me turn my head a little bit. But still got one more win to go.
Yeah, and obviously that will be the back end of this, obviously, because there's only one more game in the whole deal. But, yeah, this Alabama team was definitely not. And I venture to say it might have been the worst team that Saban's ever had at Alabama, which, again, I go back to something I said about this last week. You know, his worst team at Alabama is what a lot of teams hope they have anyway. Yeah. So that's not to be whatever, but that's kind of where it stands. I thought Alabama this year, that's a lot on Saban, like coaching them up and get them to a point, because I agree 100%. I think Georgia is better than them. Bama was the better team on SEC Championship Day, and that's just what happens. Yeah, you're right. I don't know if I'm so over that whole entire discussion kind of about was the Final Four right or not.
And people are saying that it is now.
Right, because they saw what happened with Florida State, and it's just not a fair representation, you know, obviously so. Yeah, Michigan, look, they've had my head turned all year. They're kind of the one of the teams I kind of figured into this deal, you know, collectively. You know, the whole time, at the very least, you have to take seriously, right? And, you know, it's very interesting kind of hearing the dialogue around this team now. Because of just what's happened all year, right, with Harbaugh and specifically the sign-stealing stuff now, as opposed to, I guess, at the beginning of the year with the hamburger and cheeseburger situation. But, yeah, I mean, and it's crazy, too, because it seems like this is it for Harbaugh at Michigan, no matter what. I mean, obviously, there are scenarios both ways, depending on what happens next Monday, no matter what, where he could stay. But I just don't see that happening at this point. So there's a lot of distractions with that team right now, for better or worse. And I think it's a testament to kind of just the guys they got, where, you know, Blake Corum, I think, you know, obviously is very good. And J.J. McCarthy's the other name that gets talked about a lot. But, you know, neither of them – you're like hit hard nationally, and it's really weird saying that they both finished top 10 in Heisman voting, and it's kind of funny kind of seeing people talk about all of a sudden like, man, they're a couple really good players. Like, yeah, and where have you been all year? Like stuff like that. So it's interesting in that sense. Let's talk about that final play though for Alabama. It's interesting hearing the dialogue around that, and even if it was a good snap, not the play I would have gone with.
Design run.
Very clearly a design run. A quarterback draw, in my mind, frankly.
From the four-yard line?
If that's your option, like, I would assume have him bootleg out and have someone be there in case he needs it. Like,
have a plan B.
Right. You got to have options in that situation. Your season's on the line, and that was the draw up on that one? Like,
Tommy Reese make that call?
I'm guessing it was Reese, but Saban, I would assume, has final say in all that, right?
Especially the last play of the game.
Right. So, I don't know. But, like, that it's not what I would have drawn up for that spot, that's for sure.
Terrible last play. I mean, they had a nice play right before that, the big catch to get them down to the 4-yard line. I mean, they were staring at a 16-yard, 20-yard play they would need to win the game.
Yeah.
At least, so they got down to the 4 on the catch. You got to throw the ball. You can't. Especially a QB run.
Yeah.
A design QB run right up the middle. It wasn't even close. And They're definitely probably shaking their heads right after that play, and they're probably still shaking their heads this morning and this afternoon, and probably for until next season starts, because that was an ugly call with the game, your season on the line. I just don't understand it. But you mentioned a little bit about Harbaugh. I want to kind of bring up. I think when this show airs next week, mm-hmm. I think he will be the Los Angeles Chargers head coach.
Already? We're talking like...
I think Monday...
We're talking not even 48 hours after the championship game is over.
Yeah, relax on Tuesday. And Wednesday afternoon, you're going to hear something about him being the Chargers head coach. I think that's where he's going to go.
All right.
But... he's obviously focused on the game right now. And, the Rose Bowl doesn't disappoint. It never seems to. And it's a great game every year. I assume with the new format, it's going to be a playoff game every year going forward now.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's going to work. Probably won't be a semifinal game ever. But then again, it's scheduling. So, I don't know. Maybe it's a semifinal game every year, but... never seems to disappoint. It's like the Warriors when they finally lost. I'm trying to think of other examples of who Patriots finally lost. It's just like you just assume Alabama's just going to keep winning.
Yeah.
And when they get this opportunity. And a team like Michigan hasn't really done much in a long time in the playoffs in this for fighting for a championship per se. So in that sense, I was a little shocked to see Michigan beat them.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so in that sense, yeah. Quick question before we move on to the Sugar Bowl, though. Last we've seen Nick Saban.
No.
No? No. You don't think so?
No.
Okay.
No. No. Nah, why? People are saying that?
Well, there have been rumblings all year.
You think so?
I wouldn't be surprised. I'll put it to you that way.
No. He'll be back. That guy won't ever go away. Is he ever happy?
Yeah.
He seems miserable.
Yeah.
Did Harbaugh outcoach him?
In that game, yeah. Yeah.
Harbaugh, I mean, there's a really good chance Jim and John Harbaugh are going to sweep the championships this year. You buying that? Would you buy that right now? Ravens, Michigan championship.
It's an interesting one. I mean, it's obviously very possible. It's funny you mentioned that. I was listening to a podcast today. I was actually talking about that, and the awkward family gathering next would be like Easter or something like that, and like would Jim stab John in like the ribs if he were to win the Super Bowl after Jim won the college football playoff. It's very funny. Yeah, I mean, it's possible, but we'll get to probably more on that in a couple of weeks.
Well, let's get to the reason why Jim won't win.
Yeah, so I thought the Sugar Bowl was the perfect kind of icing on the cake to the Rose Bowl, in a way. Washington.
The game came down to the last play?
Yeah, when it really didn't need to, but it did. Again, I thought... in my opinion, anyway, the better team all year won the game on the day. And whether or not they were, again, a case of were they the best team throughout the day? Probably not, but when it mattered most, they were. I talk about back and forth there in the first half, obviously. And it kind of, you know, for all the talk about how it was just like, oh, there was a ton of offense. Like, it was 21-21 going into the half, and the final was 37-31. So, like, there wasn't as much, obviously, in that second half. The fact of the matter is if there is one glaring quote unquote issue amongst going forward, it's probably the Washington defense of, I guess, all sides of the ball going forward, but we'll get on that more in a few minutes than anything else. I think nationally you got people finally maybe recognizing a little bit more on the Washington train a little bit here, obviously.
Believing in them.
I've already seen a lot of voters' remorse on the Heisman, you know, with Penix having a really good game, obviously. And I have a hot take. I can't take all the credit for it. shout out to Tom Fornelli over at CBS Sports and the Cover 3 podcast. But I agree with him. If Rome Odunze, if his name was actually Marvin Harrison Jr., he'd be the first overall pick in the draft.
Yeah.
Odunze is, I think, the best wideout in the country, and it's not even close. You know, obviously, again, a bit of a coming out part for him. Dylan Johnson's a really good running back. We'll get to that, though, more in a few minutes because I don't know if he's going to be available because instead of just taking a knee or running the ball when you were probably supposed to if you're a Washington, he's in there in a what ended up being technically not garbage time, more or less garbage time for him, and ends up hurting his foot even more. So there's a lot of stuff there. But before we get to some other stuff, your thoughts on the Sugar Bowl?
We get one more week of the Pac-12.
We do.
This is exactly how the conference wanted to go out, I would assume. Well, they probably have a little, you know, hatred towards these teams that are leaving. But, yeah, so in a sense, we were watching two Big Ten versus SEC semifinals here. Impressed by, you know, Washington. They just keep – they're like TCU last year, just keep proving people wrong. Hopefully they don't play like they play like TCU in the championship game from a year ago, but they just keep proving people wrong, keep doing their thing. We're going to have an interesting national championship, which I think is good for college football.
Yeah.
To have a Michigan or Washington winning the championship. It's not LSU. It's not Alabama. It's not Georgia. It's not Auburn. It's not Ohio State that one year. Mm-hmm. It's finally someone different, which is great going into this new era of college football next year. I would call it a new era with the 12 team. That's something we've never seen before in the sport, and I think it's going to be great for the sport. Not sure what's going to happen to all those other bowl games, but I think this is a great way going in. Obviously, I'll be pulling for Washington. I'm not a huge Big Ten, not a huge Michigan guy.
Right. I would hope you wouldn't be.
I'm obviously pulling for Washington. Was pulling for TCU last year. Didn't work out, but I think it's going to be a great national championship. Quick turnaround, though. Usually you get about 10 days. This is 1 week, yeah. And they're back at it. So I think this is great for college football. Paul Feinbaum's not doing probably too well, seeing his SEC go down.
Oh, that's all right.
But good for the Pac-12 to end with a national championship game. Hopefully they can bring it home, end that conference on the right note. Conference of champions for a reason.
Hell yeah.
This is it. This is the last game.
We get one final Pac-12 after dark.
Yes, this is the final game. Be cool to see the Pac-12 commissioner out there celebrating.
I don't know about that, but okay.
Celebration for the conference.
All right, fair enough. Texas, some of the flaws I figured they would have kind of crept up a little bit. Again, the defense, all, you know, maybe not all season, but you know that defense is very boom or bust, and I became pretty suspect of it the final half of the year, really more or less final month of the year. There were some pretty big issues I had with it. And their front line, I thought, did all right for the most part, but it certainly didn't help the back end where it needed it. Really strange for how good a coach Sarkisian is that they were dead set on doing a lot of boom or bust, I thought, pretty early. And when you're in a shootout with a team, that's not the best way to go about it. Like, you were tied with Washington going into halftime, and they kind of, I thought, moved away from their game plan. Now, I do wonder if Quinn Ewers was actually more hurt than was led on. It was very interesting. You saw Arch Manning warming up, and I thought at the time, like, that's interesting. And then there's a discussion we had about, like, how would that affect Quinn Ewers if he Arch were to go in and score and everything. Like, there's no way Ewers is coming back from that. But I feel like part of that was just a decoy. I don't think Ewers was going out at all. But it's interesting kind of, I guess, how – I wouldn't say they fell apart because they ended up coming back a little bit, obviously, and almost doing something. But I guess we can officially kind of say again, once again, Texas is not back.
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah. Is Texas back?
No.
I mean, this is a step forward, making the playoffs.
So was the Sugar Bowl a few years ago. I mean, I don't know. Look, I still think.
They won that Sugar Bowl?
They did with Sam Ellinger. Yeah. So, look, I they're coming back, yeah, but you're going into the SEC where, I mean, dare I say, I think they're probably like the fifth best team next year at best in the SEC.
And that doesn't get you in the 12-team playoff.
No. No. They're going to be behind Bama. They're going to be behind Georgia.
It's crazy.
I'm putting Ole Miss above them. Like, Ole Miss is bringing a ton in next year. I guess maybe they're fourth. There's a lot of stuff going on at LSU right now that's eyebrow-raising, to say the least.
One thing about the SEC, you probably will get four teams in that playoff.
The SEC? I don't know. It's an interesting discussion. Does the SEC next year get, you're saying at least four teams in?
They would have had four this year, wouldn't they?
I don't know. Would they have had four this year? Bama, Georgia, Ole Miss.
LSU was borderline.
Yeah,
it would have been close.
So
when it came push to shove.
I mean, I don't know. I think, and I go back to this, I thought the SEC this year was not deep. I thought it was a very top-heavy conference. I thought the numbers proved it was a very top-heavy conference.
Georgia wasn't even that really that good, and they dominated,
right.
Really.
So, I mean, if it was this year, I still say they only get three in. Could be wrong, but hey.
It's down here for the conference. Yeah. But adding in Oklahoma, Texas. Yeah. You got to think they'll be in the conversation, depending on how they do.
Oklahoma's a big question mark.
They could struggle next year.
They struggled this year more than I thought they were going to.
That's a big jump next year for them.
All right, let's kind of get back to what we were talking about here. Let's fast forward to next Monday.
Do you think Penix got himself in the first round of the draft?
Oh, I mean, to me, he's the best quarterback available anyway. So I don't know. I mean, I don't think any of them are actually going to be that good at the pro level. But hey, I don't know. Whatever.
I thought it was a really. Yeah. I know there's still one more game to go. I thought this was a really great year for college football. A lot of storylines, you know, not so good storylines, some good storylines. You know, a lot of big names popped up this year. I thought this was one of the best college football years they've had in a while.
Yeah. I mean, for all the headlines and everything and all the news surrounding the sport, the actual stuff on the field was great. And yeah, I think, I think the semifinal saved a lot, though. I don't know if we're having the same conversation if the semifinals weren't as good as they were, to be completely honest. You know what I mean?
Next year, we're going to talk about the first round and quarterfinals.
Yeah, so. All right, Michigan, Washington, future Big Ten opponents, but for now, Pac-12 versus Big Ten. Kalen DeBoer versus Jim Harbaugh. A high-flying offense against a very good hit-you-in-the-mouth defense. Like I said, though, I go back to this, and I get worried about this because I'd prefer to see Washington win over Michigan. But Washington's defense frightens me because they do allow a lot of points. Now, Michigan's offense, to be fair, isn't known for exactly putting up a ton, but at the same token, you know Harbaugh, and you know J.J. McCarthy and Blake Corum, they're going to find ways to expose that, no matter what. So,
who's doing the halftime show?
Oh, I have no idea. Game's in Houston next Monday night. I'm looking forward to it. I guess I'll save my outright pick here for just in a minute, Nick, when I give the update on my picks. But, like you mentioned, I think this is great because it's the first time since, I don't even know numerically, that we don't even have an SEC team in this game, period. I guess you have to go back to 06, USC Texas, right?
Yeah.
I think.
Who did Ohio State beat?
Bama.
Bama?
I'm pretty sure.
I have to look that up. Ohio State. It's not Bama. It's like,
oh, I could be wrong. It might have been Florida. Either way. But
Ooh, Florida State won that 1 year, too.
Yeah. But
it's been a while.
Either way, I think this puts a spotlight on the other good teams throughout the country, not just in the southeast portion of the U.S. So I think there's a lot of good coming from this game no matter what. I just hope it's not like last year, if I'm being completely honest.
Oh, you don't want last year's repeat?
No, I do not want a repeat of last year. So that's my main hope for Monday night.
Or the Orange Bowl.
Right, sure. So, what you got for us, Nick? Anything yet?
Oh, this is just the college football playoff. Yeah. College football, it does have one here. Okay. Georgia, Alabama, Alabama, LSU, Alabama, 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 Alabama. First college football championship format, Final Four. We didn't have it, SEC team. Back in 2014 when Ohio State beat Oregon.
Yeah, how about that then?
Same two conferences, though.
Yep. So, Nick, what are you taking?
Obviously, I'm not picking Michigan. I think Michigan could win. They got this, like, camaraderie, you know, oh, it's against the world. You're a bunch of cheaters. And if Ron Manfred has any say about this title, they're going to keep it. I am picking Washington. I think Michael Penix Jr. is a superstar. And I think the Pac-12 is going to go out on top. It's been all about the Pac-12 this year. And the Big Ten will once again not win it all.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I went 13-8. Through last week of bowls.
Oh, and the score I think will be, oh,
sure.
So not to interrupt.
Yeah.
37-34 Washington.
Wow. Shootout. Okay. So 13-8 last week of bowl games. That brings my overall record to 64-63-2. So
you have one
I cannot
game
finish below 500, but I can finish that.
It would only be fit if you finished 500.
Yeah. I'm taking Washington plus 5. They've been dogs the past few big games. They've won outright every time. I think they're going to do it again. I think it's close. I don't know if it's necessarily a shootout like you're thinking, Nick, but I think we're going to have a final score of 27-24. Washington is your college football playoff champion. How about that?
Maybe 10 more points each.
So, we're both locked in there, I guess. So
Washington has to be the big Pac-12.
Right.
So, how'd you do last week?
For what?
The Bulls.
13.
Oh, yeah.
13-8.
You got the Tulane one right, though.
No.
I thought you took them.
Tulane didn't.
Oh, Tulane. Who they... you took Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
You got that one right.
Yeah.
The one that was going on.
Mm-hmm.
That was a nice one.
Thank you. Appreciate it. So, let's get to NFL here. Really, I guess the main topics here have to do with the playoff picture because we're at the regular season finale week. And
week 18.
The quote-unquote important stuff is locked up. Right, Baltimore's locked into one. San Fran's locked into one. They can't move.
Nothing. Baltimore's overall one.
Yes. So they have home field throughout.
There is no overall one.
Well, whatever.
Host the Super Bowl.
I think it has to do with the coin flip. But
that's true. Anyway.
Yep. Either way. So going into week 18, still some stuff to do. We have a lot of, for the first time in a few years, it feels like, guys are actually going to be sitting out the final week for playoff-bound teams. The Browns, for example, they're locked in.
The five?
They're locked in the five.
They are.
Joe Flacco's not playing. P.J. Walker is backing up Jeff Driscoll at quarterback. So crazy stuff like that going on. But it's exciting. Week 18's fun. It's spread out throughout, at least the day on Sunday. We got two Saturday games for whatever reason. I don't know.
Cool, though.
Huh?
It's cool.
Sure. But
winner go home.
I just much like the I like the all-day Sunday deal. We got six games in the early window, seven in the late window in Sunday night football. But week 18 is always fun, like I said, because you got people are still fighting and slugging this out. And, you know, what stuff is, you do have one of those games on Saturday night. So it's like that element, I guess it is cool. But, like, I prefer having everything going on at the same time. So that way there's, to me, it just feels like there's peak chaos going on.
Yeah. I mean, you got the winner go home game.
Yep.
Texans Colts Saturday night. They want to give that its primetime spot. But they also want to give Bills-Dolphins, which is a huge game for the division title. Yep. Bills trying to still get in. So there's the pressure of them losing. But if they win, we will be doing next week's show in Buffalo.
I don't think we will be.
Previewing the playoff game. Why can we get a deal there? Can we get a spot on the field? It's Wednesday. What's going on Wednesday?
I don't know.
But anyway, yeah. A lot of good games this weekend. I always get a kick out of the Week 18 1 p.m. games. They just, like, shove those terrible games just to get them over with. Mm-hmm. Hey, great season, Jets, Patriots. Here you are at 1 o'clock finishing up the season. see, a lot of interesting people playing. No Russell Wilson again this week.
As we knew.
some people sitting. Lamar Jackson, I think, is going to play.
I don't know.
Might play a quarter. Half.
I mean, they got the Ravens.
No way he plays the whole game.
Not to give too much away, but they do have the Ravens as an underdog. So
yeah, they don't know.
Yeah.
When I think of sitting, I always think of Curtis Painter. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, the running back.
He was a quarterback for the Colts.
Oh, that Painter. Okay, yeah.
Anyway, Colts were 14-0. They didn't go for the undefeated season. Peyton Manning sat out 3 weeks. They let Curtis Painter come in the last 2 weeks there, and they blew their undefeated season. And I don't even think the Colts won a playoff game that year. I cannot confirm, but I'm pretty sure the three-week stretch was too much rust for Peyton. And I just don't – football's a game of rhythm, man. It's like baseball. You got to keep playing. Sitting the last half of the last week of the regular season is not going to kill you. So I think Lamar will play, but sitting the last 2 weeks is ridiculous. I love the winter go home games. I'm glad they have divisional action all week long yep. this week. So you get a great chance at that, winning the divisions, playoff spots, and we got that again.
Yeah, I mean,
sure. The seventh seed, I don't know. Seventh seed, I don't think has won a playoff game in the first 2 years of the seventh seed. It's tough to do, but it gives you a shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's what these teams are just, like the Texans and the Colts, they just want a shot in the playoffs, and they got, it's right there for them on Saturday. They can still win the division.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure if they win and Jacksonville loses, they're the division champs.
Yeah, so, we'll start in the AFC there with that then. So, Colts and Indy go at it, and that will determine at least, at minimum, one playoff spot in that time frame, right? I guess, really to be fair, though, I guess it does begin, though, with that first game because Pittsburgh is still technically in this. Now, Colts have the tiebreaker on them, and then Houston also has a tiebreak on Pittsburgh. But, you know, Pittsburgh wins, they at least get themselves that opportunity. It's just tough. They would need a win, more or less, and, like, Colts-Texans to tie to be locked in solely at that point. It gets kind of weird. I mean, Jacksonville's playing Tennessee. So, you know, who knows? I mean, in theory, Jacksonville should have no problem with that and win the division at that point, stay locked into that four spot. So, at least on paper, right, the AFC, to me, I think the AFC remains unchanged through the weekend. I do. So, that'd be Baltimore. Now, I guess some of it. No, I guess technically it might not. You know, I don't know. The Miami and Buffalo game is a really interesting Sunday night. So, but I think at least though the seven teams you see in the playoff right now, they lock in and stay in the playoff.
Yep.
Now seeds could change, but I think that's the vibe I'm getting.
Seeds are huge because both conferences. I think. I mean, there's a chance. You could be playing the Chiefs, and there's a chance you could be playing the Jaguars. I don't know. Opinions are someone's opinion. Who would you rather face? I think some people might say the Chiefs, but I think I'd rather play the Jaguars. I mean, it's almost like roulette in a way. I mean, you're just hoping to hit something, and hopefully you land up against a good opponent in that first round. Because I don't know who would you.
I mean, I'd rather play Jacksonville.
You'd rather play Jacksonville.
Yeah,
yeah, I think so too because of their history. But then you go from, well, the Dolphins aren't playing that great. I might want to play them. All of a sudden, you could be playing the Bills.
Yeah.
Because they could win the division. Yeah. And, it's just, you're hoping to get in, and hopefully the luck goes your way, and you get a nice draw. Either way, this is the playoffs, and I love the NFL playoffs. I think March Madness is still number one, but I would say the NFL playoffs is number two.
Okay.
I know you're a big MLB playoffs guy.
Yeah.
I know you're a big NASCAR playoffs guy.
Okay.
but I think the NFL playoffs is right behind March Madness, the greatest postseason in all of sports. And, yeah, and this is just getting in. I think when you're the Texans, no one thought you were going to – you have people like Nick Foles saying you weren't going to win a game this year. Just to get it in would be a big deal for the Texans this week. They don't care who they're playing. Sure they do, but – this is just, it's interesting. The matchups are going to be so critical because if you play the Cowboys, you're going to be on ESPN on Monday night. But it's just, it's interesting. There's so many different scenarios of who's playing who next week. And I love that. I love that. There's so many teams in. I even heard the Steelers, ninth place they are in the AFC right now. They lose, they can still get in.
Yeah. If there's a tie, they get in.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Absolutely insane. That they're in ninth place right now, and they lose, they can still get in. And
actually, no, it's not. Wait.
I think it's if a certain team wins.
Yeah, yeah.
And that Texans, I can't remember the Texans-Colts game. Mm-hmm. One of them wins, but. And then, of course, you got same situation for Seattle last year.
Well, I was about to say, I that's where I'm looking right now is the NFC standings, where it's really – I mean, I guess it really is two spots because everybody's at 8-8. The NFC South is the NFC South causing all the chaos here in this situation. So, yeah, I mean, it's crazy.
It's not the same, but it's the same. Seattle needs to win and have Green Bay lose. They got that last year. Detroit beat them in the regular season Sunday Night Football last year, and Seattle got in.
Yeah.
So they need a similar situation. Green Bay getting in would be interesting because they at times have not looked great.
And other times they've looked actually good.
And Jordan Love, this could be a great opportunity for him.
Mm-hmm.
It would be fitting to see Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love make the playoffs and not Aaron Rodgers. But – it's going to be exciting. Rams are in, right? Are they in?
As of right now. Oh, yeah. They're locked in, actually.
I thought they clinched.
Yeah, they're locked.
Yeah, they're in. That's a sneaky good team, the Rams. Stafford's been playing well. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's a deadly team. I think the NFC is going to be – some people are already putting Cowboys Niners for some reason the NFC Championship game. Yeah, not so fast, my friend.
Fast, my friend.
There are some really good teams and sneaky good teams in this NFC. Even Tampa Bay could be scary.
Be riding the Baker Mayfield train, huh?
They looked terrible last week against New Orleans, who's in front right now? Is it New Orleans now?
Tampa Bay still is technically.
Interesting. Atlanta still in the hunt?
No.
They're eliminated.
Yeah.
Good. So I'm looking forward to it. I love these red zone gets absolutely insane. Go back. If I ever could rewatch a red zone episode with Scott Hansen, it'd be the last week of the regular season because the scenarios go from right as of right now, the Steelers are in. Mm-hmm. As of right now, the Seahawks are in. It's absolutely insane.
I can't wait for our final red zone of the year coming up. By the way.
4 o'clock window is usually kind of more the boring window.
I don't think so this year because of the stuff going on. This week is
always nuts.
Yeah. Well, I suppose maybe. All right, so.
But the one race I'm looking forward to is a Giants loss and a Washington, Arizona, New England win, and the Giants have the number two pick. I'm just saying it's still out there. Number two.
We as a country need Washington to lose. So.
They can get the two. They can get the second pick.
Speaking of picks, our final
regular season week.
Means the season is wrapping up, potentially.
Not many more games after this.
So, I went 10-6 last week, Nick. You went 12-4.
I was gonna say, am I falling apart?
The gap is closed. 155-102 record for me. 154-103 for you.
1.1.
It's not over yet.
We both got that Eagles one wrong, I would imagine.
We did. There's a lot of collective wrong.
How did the Cardinals beat? Right? How did the Cardinals beat the Cowboys and Eagles, but not Washington and Giants?
I don't know. I got Detroit wrong last week against Dallas. So
that's true. There should be an asterisk because they won that game, and you know it. Detroit won that game.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that at all. But I mean, at this point, it's been so banged on. I was just like over it. Like
they won that game.
Sure.
And that guy got a primetime game again. That ref.
Yeah, he does. He has the Brad Allen crew as a Saturday night game this week. So
phony.
But Saturday afternoon is game one of the week.
No Thursday,
thank God. 4:30, Pittsburgh at Baltimore. Baltimore, 3.5-point dog at home.
This is going to be a tough week to pick, but going Pittsburgh.
I'm going Baltimore still.
Why? Yeah, I'm throwing that out there right now. Why, Paul? But Lamar's not going to play.
I don't trust Mason Rudolph. I don't care if I have to take Todd Hundley. Mason Rudolph. Are you? You're picking Mason Rudolph?
I'm picking Lamar Jackson and the Ravens to sit, and the Steelers have more to play for, and that's why I've just evened up this score.
Screw. I can't. Nope. I can't. I'm taking Baltimore.
All right. All right.
Do not care. Do not care. Pittsburgh is a dysfunctional team right now, so I'm sticking to my guns. Saturday night, 8:15, Houston at Indianapolis with the aforementioned Brad Allen crew officiating. Indianapolis, a 1-point home underdog.
I just want to make it clear. I want to say I'm eligible.
Sure.
Eligible to catch the ball?
You are.
Did you hear me?
Yep.
You heard me.
Yep. You're number 70.
Both weird seasons. Houston, I thought, was going to be bad, but they have a star franchise quarterback this year, as it seems. It's only 1 year. But the Colts have had this crazy year. You go from firing Frank Wright last year to Jonathan Taylor hold out to your owner still drunk to to just say it's been a weird year for the Colts. And for some reason, I think they're going to the playoffs. I'm taking the Colts.
Well, C.J. Stroud's back under center. They're playing for their playoff life. I'm going to take Houston in this situation.
Okay. The playoffs start now.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think with C.J. Stroud under center, it makes a difference. So
I would assume the loser's out.
Correct.
They are out.
Yeah. All right. Our first of the early window on Sunday is Tampa Bay at Carolina. Tampa Bay, 5.5-point favorites. I think they bounce back and lock up the division. I'm taking Tampa Bay.
What's the over-under on the Panthers owner throwing drinks on a fan?
1.5.
Whoa, yep. Two drinks. Okay. Yes, I'll take that over, and I'll take Tampa Bay.
Okay. First one we agree with. Cleveland at Cincinnati. Cincinnati, 6-point favorites.
I saw that yesterday, and I hear you right now, but I don't believe it, so I'm going to take Cleveland. I know they're resting their starters. I know I went through the whole resting starters, but Cincinnati has nothing to play for. Pittsburgh has everything to play for, so I'm taking Cleveland even if they're sitting their starters.
I'm actually in the same boat as you. I'm taking Cleveland here.
Well, you don't care about the starter
thing. I just think it's going to be low scoring. We know that Cleveland's defense is good no matter what. You don't see defense tend to sit all that often as you do offense. So I just think, you know, push comes to shove. Who's going to win a 6-3 game? I think the team with the better defense. So I'll go Cleveland here. Minnesota at Detroit. Detroit is 3-point favorites.
The NFC North champion Detroit Lions.
Yes.
As long as they – tell they're eligible to catch the ball, they should win this game. I'm taking Detroit.
Same. Not for those reasons, but same. the Jets at the Patriots. Patriots are 2-point favorites. Don't know how.
Jets have to end this miserable season with a loss. I'm taking the Patriots.
I'm not. I'm taking the Jets here still. Did you just see how Bailey Zappe started against Buffalo? Because that was...
We did start drinking when that game started. I mean, it was a little buzz, but I could have sworn I saw a couple interceptions.
Just a few. Just a few.
But the Jets are bad.
I don't think they're as bad as Bailey Zappe, if I'm being completely honest.
give me the Patriots, still. I don't care.
I don't care either. I'm taking the Jets. Atlanta at New Orleans. New Orleans, 3.5-point favorites. I'm taking New Orleans here. One final time I get to say it. I cannot physically trust the Atlanta Falcons.
You think Art Smith getting fired?
Sounds like he's not.
Ugh. Taking the Saints.
Yeah. And our last of the early window on Sunday, Nick, Jacksonville at Tennessee. Tennessee, 5.5-point underdogs.
Jacksonville's still playing for something.
Yep.
Give me the Jags.
Rawr. Likewise. Pause up. All right, first of the late window. All 425s, by the way, in the late window this week. Seattle at Arizona. Arizona, 2.5-point dogs. You want to hear an interesting one here? Seattle, only 1-4 against division opponents this year.
Oof.
Yeah.
But that one win was against the Cardinals.
It was.
So, Seattle.
I want to apologize because we have a Seahawk fan very near and dear to us both. I'm sorry, Matt. I got to take Arizona here, I think, to be completely honest. Seattle worries me. They haven't looked great the past couple weeks. And you want to who actually has looked decent the past couple weeks somehow? The Cardinals. Don't know how, but.
Hey, man. Cardinals, Patriots, yeah. Washington win, and the Giants lose. We got the second pick.
See? I'm helping you out. Sort of. Not really.
No way you pick Washington.
If they win.
That's the hard one, Washington.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll get to that game, obviously, in the list, but yeah. All right, Chicago at Green Bay. Green Bay, 3-point favorites.
Chicago at Green Bay.
Yep.
Chicago's been playing well. I think Seattle's getting in again. Give me the Bears. The Bears.
Wow. All right. I'm taking Green Bay.
They're in.
I think Green Bay gets in, yeah. Kansas City at the Chargers. Chargers, 3-point favorites.
What?
Yeah, I was going to say, did I miss something here?
Is Ethan Stick still the quarterback?
Yeah, but like I said, did I miss something here? Kansas City sitting people that we don't know about?
Taylor Swift must have a concert.
Ah.
That's
well,
got to be it.
Either way, I'm taking Kansas City.
Yeah, I'm taking.
And Kelsey finds the end zone.
I'm taking Kansas City, I guess. But that is weird.
Denver at Vegas. The Raiders are 2.5-point favorites.
Man, I guess the Raiders. Antonio Pierce is getting the job game, we'll call this.
Okay. I'm with you, taking the Raiders. Yeah, the Broncos,
Stidham looked good,
Broncos
though.
Have found themselves in dysfunctional territory.
Stidham looked all right, though.
You might be the first person since the 2015 Auburn team to say that. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Philadelphia at the Giants. The Giants, 5.5-point underdogs at home.
We are beating them. Give me the G-men. We are taking them down. We have had it with the Eagles. We're taking them down.
Were you just saying that you want the Giants to lose and the other teams to win?
Yeah, but Washington ain't losing. So forget the second pick.
Okay.
Let's beat the Eagles.
All right, fair enough. I'm taking the Eagles, though. Sorry. Or maybe not, depending upon how it actually works out through the week.
I'll let you have that one, but you ain't getting the Washington one.
Rams at San Fran. The 49ers are still 3.5-point favorites.
Some 49ers.
Yeah. I'm taking the 49ers as well. Mm-hmm. So, they're both locked in anyway, so who knows. All right, the last of the late window, Dallas at Washington.
You can have the
your
Eagles.
Your largest win. Spread of the weekend by a considerable margin. 13 is the line on this game with Dallas being favored.
You can have the Eagles when you're not getting this one. Taking Cowboys.
This is only the second time all year you've taken Dallas.
You,
I don't know about that. I'm just saying.
It's like, damn, you got a lot of stats over
I'm
there.
I'm taking Dallas, though, on this guy. I mean, come on.
Yeah, what's my record when I take the Jaguars?
I don't know. That's a good question. I will be doing, actually, I'll finish up this, and then I'll bring that up. So Sunday Night Football, Buffalo at Miami, your final game. Miami a 3-point underdog.
What's the Bills' record?
10-6.
That's over 500.
Yeah.
So give me the Bills. Dolphins don't beat good teams.
I'm taking Buffalo here, but only because I just don't know what the health of Miami is going to be. I remember saying, though, Buffalo would win in Buffalo this year, Miami would in Miami this year, but the health issue for Miami just, I could not have came at a worse time, to be completely honest. So I think that's a big thing. And in Buffalo, if they win that, that's they get the division, too, in that. So I guess we're both saying
so what
Buffalo Bills are going to be AFC
East
champions.
Wow.
After
the year they've had.
What a crazy year.
What were you saying?
So, yeah, I've decided what I'll do here after college football officially gets completed next week. I don't know if I'll have it done in time for Wednesday's podcast, but I'll go back through, go through all my picks going back to week, technically preseason or whatever it's called, not even week O. Back when I was in North Carolina vacationing and had to make 7 picks with very bad Wi-Fi, I will be going through looking at conferences I pick, the teams and the records and all that of how I pick that. So we'll be doing that. Like I said, I don't know if it will be done in time for next week. But
2 weeks will be the recap in the champ, the season.
Right. So no, it would be 1 week from today.
Oh, yeah.
So either way. So that will take care of Fresh Takes then for today, though, Nick. Who are you shouting out to?
Fantasy football just ended. Shout out to our fantasy football champions and my three leagues that I run. Shout out to Jaron Johnson. Shout out to Josh Langley.
Wait, what?
And shout out to Andrew Matarko. Those are the three leagues I won. Jaron Johnson wins the Jerry One League. Josh Langley wins the Davis Hall Cuca College League.
Okay.
And Andrew Matarko wins the Cuca College Space Hall League. So, shout out to Andrew, Josh, and Jaron. Those are your fantasy football champions. I have yet to announce a fantasy football championship since this podcast. Well, actually, I think I did win in 2018, but that doesn't matter.
I have some breaking NFL news.
It's been a while.
Breaking NFL news.
Thanks for having me today.
Firefighters are battling a fire at the home of Tyreek Hill.
What?
The wide receiver and his family are safe. But that was a notification that came in 2 minutes ago.
Really?
Yeah, so.
Just a couple shout-outs other than the people. golf is back this week. Looking forward to the Tournament of Champions in Hawaii.
We got
tennis will be back in a couple weeks. Looking forward to the Australian Open. And
tennis is back right now, by the way.
Yeah, tennis never has an off season. And then of course the Hall of Fame announcement is late in January.
Yeah.
I think Bartolo Colon gonna make the Hall of Fame this year.
No.
So yeah, that's I'm trying to think of the other sports. That's pretty much it.
All right.
Olympics are coming soon.
That's many months away still, man.
And that's it for me.
Away, so, all right. Appreciate you, Nick, as always. Appreciate everybody for tuning in and listening. We'll be back next week. We recap Michigan and Washington, the NFL, preview that stuff, and who knows what might else pop up between now and then that we get to discuss. So, enjoy the week, everybody. We will talk with everybody next week.